Yeah, advisory group on an electronic, and I don't remember what the last word was. I think it was equipment. But and while I was on that, a big concern was components, standards, mill standards. We didn't write the standards, see, but we set up the requirements, you see. Mm-hmm. And then there were groups in DOD, standards writing groups. Because, see, these are all industry people, and I have National Bureau of Standards, it's commerce. Mm-hmm. Say, okay. And there are also some military people from some of the military labs. Now, this occurred halfway between my becoming a member of AGRI and the formation of the professional group. Now, I want you to notice who the sponsors were on this thing. RMA, right. That's now EIA, IRE, AIE. They,
right.
Then also AIEE.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, there it is. There they are. They're the three. Oh, yeah. With active participation by agencies of the U.S. government, Department of Defense, and the National Bureau of Standards. Mm-hmm. Now, to the best of my knowledge, the Bureau of Standards was represented by me and Cleto Brunetti. We did act together, but we are both involved, okay? I don't recall any other Bureau of Standards people who were involved, but it wasn't much of an involvement.
Mm-hmm.
Really, what they were looking for were names. This is a bit of name-dropping. Cleto Brunetti didn't do a damn thing anyway. I did neither. Never claimed I did. And I don't remember. It was Western Electric Company.
Mm-hmm.
But never had anything to do with the professional group. Ernst Weber, of course, was Brooklyn Poly. Briggs, Westinghouse. They had nothing to do with the symposium. Robert Sprague personally had nothing to do with it, but he had a lot of his people involved. For example, for years, trying to remember the name of the guy who had charge of all the symposium publication, the yearly publication. He was an employee of Sprague, but working in EIA. I don't remember. And also, you know, he also financially supported Leon Podolsky. The symposium was put together by a number of people from the various sponsoring organizations. And because so many government people were involved, the Department of Interior Auditorium was made available for that symposium. It was a very, very big auditorium. And it was very successful. And that meeting in 1950 was called a Symposium on Improved Quality Electronic Components.
Mm-hmm.
Its emphasis seemed to be on reliability.
Right.
Not development or anything of that sort. Okay? And that was held in the Department of Interior Auditorium 3 days, May 9th, 10th, and 11th in 1950. And then after this meeting, people came so enthusiastic about this. That's when the idea of having a regular annual symposium. Now, there was no symposium in 1951. So that the next one was in 52, 53, 54, 55. Okay, but this first one wasn't, it didn't have the same nature.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, money was an important thing in the running of these things, because practically all the people involved were volunteered by their organizations. There were printing costs for the proceedings. There were printing costs for mailings that went out. Some of these were absorbed, in effect, by the professional group on component parts, because they went out as part of newsletters and part of proceedings. Okay. So far as salaried people are concerned, the editors or the editor who put together the whole ball of wax of the preppy, he may have been paid from the earnings of the symposiums. I don't know. I'm just guessing. But anyway, the symposium was a milk cow, and the sponsors, IEEE, no, it wasn't IEEE in the beginning, but IRA, Institute of Radio Engineers, and RMA, which later became RETMA, which later became EIA, were certainly happy to get the money, okay? So I cannot comment about that. And so if there was no other reason to continue to have an annual symposium, the money was a reason. But there was. The symposium was useful. Mm-hmm.